welcome to the 12th episode. I think it's the 12th episode of the Getting to Know You podcast. If not, it's the 11th. Either way, you'll see it. I'm your host, Jacob Bradley. And today I'm joined by the ruler of this very studio that we're sat in today, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Thomas Tallarino. Tommy, how are you?
I'm good, Bradley. How are you doing today?
I'm excellent, man. It's like we were just talking a little bit before. It's been a nice morning for me. I know it's been a nice morning for you as well.
Yeah. It was an eventful morning when I went out to my car. But
we could thank Terry for that one.
Yeah. I mean, as long as it's not coming out of my pocket, we'll be all right. We'll be all right.
But all right, let's get straight into it. Tommy, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself if they don't know you already?
Yeah, my name's Tommy Tallarino. I'm a broadcast major here at SUNY Oswego. I'm 20 years old. I grew up in Rome, New York, I'd say it's a smaller city, you know, it's kind of small town vibes. I'm a big fan of sports, video games, like a lot of movies. Yeah.
I know. I always feel like this is the start where I always am like, "Hey, talk about it." And then it's always like three sentences. It's over. But let's talk a little bit about Rome because you know, I'm from Syracuse, so I see it. I've been there before.
Yeah.
I've played many a games there, many a everything there. It's a little bit similar to Oswego, maybe a little bit bigger scale, I would say, as far as the city goes.
Yeah, I definitely say it's very similar. I want to say it's around the same size.
Yeah.
It's set up a little different. You know, they were both kind of rural areas, even though they're cities where it's like a lot of – there used to be factory workers in Rome, and they had the Air Force Base. So it's a lot of jobs at the time. Now it's a little bit more, less populated. A lot of people are coming from New York City or downstate up to Rome. But I would say the thing with Oswego is the college brings in a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rome, they don't really have a college there. So it's, they don't have as much during that time.
Right. So is that something, because it's kind of, you know, like you say, a little bit of smaller atmosphere from both. Was that kind of something that drew you to wind up coming here?
For me, it was the broadcast program. I looked around. I just fell in love with the campus.
Yeah.
When I got here, like, I liked being by the lake. I like the size of the classes. You know, it's not where it's like very small classes or very big classes.
Right.
I find it's like it's in the middle for both.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was applying, I applied very locally. Like,
yeah.
I applied here, Cortland, Geneseo, Utica. And really, I was like, I don't want to be too far away from home, but I want to get away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it has a lot of similarities where I was like, I felt very comfortable being
okay
here. Where it's like, Cortland, it was bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm familiar a little bit with the Syracuse area, but it wasn't like, I didn't like it as much as
right
there. Like, the program, it wasn't the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of like, I like Syracuse, or I like Oswego's environment a little better. I like the program. I think this is the one for me.
Nice. Yeah, I was just at Cortland this past weekend, actually, and it's very much, you could tell it was a town before, then a college joined.
Yeah.
Here it's very much college, then town.
Yeah.
But let's take it back even a little bit further before your decision. Growing up, you want to tell me how just a little bit about growing up? You know, you have any siblings or anything along those lines?
Yeah, so I have one brother. He's 25 or 26 now. He's 5 years older than me.
Yeah,
I always lose track. But it's just me and him. I grew up both my parents. I was fortunate enough for about 19 years. I had both set of my grandparents, so I had a very tight knit family around me.
Mm-hmm.
We were always very close, and my brother, we're a little bit different. He's a forensic psychology major.
Okay.
He ended up, he's living out in Albany now, and he is basically doing social work. He goes into homes, sees if the kid's living is suitable for a
kid. Yeah.
Deals with like a lot of like troubled children.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting two masters at UAlbany for his program. And I think he's doing a little lifeguard on the side.
Okay.
But it's very interesting because we're 5 years apart.
Yeah.
And growing up, we weren't the bestest of friends of each other. Like, yeah. Usually, you know, I feel like there's always a time where, like, brothers don't get along.
Absolutely.
But for a while, it was like we just didn't get along. Like,
yeah.
We just didn't have a lot of similarities. Now we're a little bit closer, and it's a lot better. I mean, I don't see him a lot since he's living out in Albany, mm-hmm. but I'm glad we've drawn closer over the years.
Absolutely. When was that kind of turning point for you guys when you did kind of draw a little closer? Did it just naturally happen over time?
I think it was when it was in high school.
Yeah.
When I want to say around like 15 or 16, around there. Just I started hanging out with his friends a little bit more when I was home.
Okay.
And like I kind of like became a friend in his friend group.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just over time hanging out more,
yeah,
instead of like, you know, when we were living together, I would do my own thing. He'd do his own thing. I'd be doing a lot of sports when I was growing up. So mm-hmm. I was always on the move. He did some sports, but he was more into like video games, comic yeah. books, movies. And so he was always playing video games. So he'd be on the headset and mm-hmm. in chat rooms with his friends. And we were just doing our own different things, I'd say. Yeah.
And that's kind of how my family is as well. Like, you know, we all very much do our own thing. And that's the same thing with my brother. Like me and my brother used to butt heads a lot when we were younger too. I mean, it's just what kids yeah. do. But then, you know, you get a little older and everybody kind of finds their own interest. And, you know, you always wind up coming back to each other because you have that blood with each other.
Yeah, I find that very interesting just because, like, you know, we don't have really a lot in common. I'd say probably like the DC Marvel comic movies. That's our main similarity. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a football fan, but he's not like an avid football
right.
fan. But like you said, just, you know, since he's family, it's like,
yeah,
it's very cool.
No, it's nice to have kind of a built-in friend. But the five-year the difference as well, like, was there almost a part of you when you started getting close to him that made you, like, was he almost like a little bit like an inspiration or so just because he was that 5 years older than you?
I'd say a little bit. But when the time we did get closer, my parents were going through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very interesting because he was still at college and I was at home.
Yeah.
So I would say it was kind of like an outlet where, like, I saw him and it was like I was happy to be around him. And I definitely do look up to him because he is a very smart person. And I can admit that he's way smarter than me.
Yeah.
It's like it's very inspiring because he's done a lot of great things. And mm-hmm. I'm very proud of him about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So let's talk a little bit about high school and stuff like that. Even a little bit before then, you know, moving up, you say you play a lot of sports. You want to
yeah.
talk a little bit about that stuff?
Yeah. So throughout sports, I started out, my main one was baseball for a while. I played baseball from like four, I want to say to 15 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I just naturally fell in love with it. But I also played soccer, football, basketball, tennis.
Okay.
Wrestling, cross country.
Wow.
I like the aspect of a team.
Yeah.
Like I just like that, like, kind of like brotherhood of a team
mm-hmm.
where it's, I think it just draws me into sports. Baseball was probably the longest I played. I played basketball in like upper elementary, middle
okay.
school stuff, but I never played in high school. Football I played for a couple of years. And tennis, I played my senior year.
Nice.
I wish I played tennis a little longer. Actually, I really loved it when my year I played. I played doubles, and my partner and I, we ended up making sectionals.
Oh, wow.
It was a fun time. And then we got to sectionals and lost first round, like 06, 07. That was the game or match scores. But I kind of wish I played football a little longer. When I played, I was tight end,
mm-hmm.
O-line, and D-line. And I think for baseball, I just couldn't keep up with the talent aspect. Like,
yeah.
When I was younger, I was able to – I was a good hitter, good fielder. And by the time middle school and early high school came, I just wasn't strong enough. Like, I didn't have the bat speed to get around, and I wasn't as agile. So
mm-hmm.
I at the time, it was – it was hard to
right.
give up the sport, but it is what it is.
But see, I kind of come from the opposite end where, like, I played baseball my whole entire life and stayed with baseball. And, yeah, I definitely – there was times where I couldn't keep up with the talent
yeah.
either. But I still kept going and I kept trying. And I kind of wish I had maybe dropped and tried other things. Was that something that you noticed that maybe when once baseball stopped, you started picking up other things and realizing where your strengths were elsewhere?
For me, I definitely say with tennis, it really played a part because I started cross country in ninth grade and played baseball ninth and tenth. So I definitely knew at the time my junior year, I was thinking of trying out again, but I had a job at the time.
Okay.
And I really liked the income of money.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I give this up, they were going to be very strict with their hours. Like, hey, you can't drop below this number of hours or else we're going to have to let you go. And I was like, oh, how much time am I really going to be playing in baseball?
Yeah.
Is it really worth it to give up my job at the time? And then my senior year, I switched jobs. And at the time I was lifeguarding and I was very lenient. Like, I think I was only working on the weekends and tennis was Monday through Friday. We never had weekend practices, maybe about one or two matches a week.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to try it. I might as well. You know, it's my senior year. I'm not going to try it now. There's no way I'm going to be playing in college. So I was like, hey, I might as well.
Yeah. So making that decision, though, to drop some certain sports and kind of a very adult decision from going, okay, do I want to keep this job or do I want to do something that I enjoy doing? How old were you made that decision?
Probably 16.
So how, like, I mean, that's a pretty adult decision to make there. Like, do you remember, if you could take yourself back to that mindset, what your thought process was during that?
Yeah, so I was back and forth in between my mom and dad's house at the time. Mm-hmm. And I kind of started, once I got that job, there was no more, hey, we'll give you some money for this. We'll give you some money for that. And I really just, I'm a big jersey collector. And most of my paychecks were going, what jersey do I want next? Nice. What do I want? What video game do I want next?
Yeah.
And I realized if I start up baseball again, I wasn't in shape to play a full season at the time. And I just decided having this money is going to be more valuable now than making some time out of my day to be in a baseball game where I'm probably only going to play like an inning or two.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, especially as the fellow guy that played only an inning. It definitely was like, wow, I could be doing so much more. But no, so you mentioned, you know, sports, it seems like, has been a big part of your life. You want to talk about watching sports and being a fan of sports as well, how much that's impacted you?
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching sports since I was probably around 6 or 7. I actually, for a little while, I was a Yankees fan for a little bit.
Really?
Just because I feel like every kid does this where, oh, my dad likes the Yankees.
Yeah.
I'm going to like the Yankees.
Oh, so you went, so your dad likes the Yankees and you like the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a bigger, my dad likes the Red Sox, so I just went with him.
Yeah. So for me, I became a Red Sox fan through one of the MLB games.
Really?
I want to say it was like 2K8. I was just playing one morning and I was like, you know what? This Yankee team sucks. I can't get a hit with them. I can't do anything. And then I switch. Because I was playing against the Red Sox. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to switch things up.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was like Dustin Pedroia leading off. And I hit like a double right off the wall. I was like, I'm with them now.
Yeah.
That's my new team.
Wow.
But, for watching sports, it's just, for me, it's just so exciting.
Mm.
Like, just seeing, like, that team you root for just to, like, win it all and go far. And it can be very disappointing at times, especially right now, you know, I'm a New England Patriots fan. So, like, seeing that, like, wow, my team was on top of the world for a while. And now it's like, this is what a normal NFL franchise is like.
Oh,
It's very interesting.
No, it kind of puts it in perspective. Like, not just in, like, sports in a way is very symbolic of life. Like, just how quickly you can be on top and on top of the world, and now you're just back to normal.
Yeah, it kind of, like, reminds me of, like, kind of like for some people, like going to high school to college. It's like, you know, people in high school, they're on top of the world.
Absolutely.
And then like college, it's a whole new world for them now.
Yeah, it's like a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
And then you move into the ocean.
Yeah.
But not to get too deep on you, Tommy, here, but you know, you talked about your parents went through a divorce.
Yeah.
And you know, you mentioned how passionate you were about sports and all that stuff.
Yeah.
How much was sports important to you during the time that was going on in your life?
Yeah, so when I found out my parents were getting a divorce, I was in the middle of cross country season.
Okay.
And for me, it was a very dreadful time. Like, I just they were living in the same house, even though they were getting in divorce. Mm. So it was very cold and, like, it wasn't fun to be around, I'll say. And I didn't have that much sports left. I think that that spring semester, after my parents finally got the divorce, I didn't make the baseball team.
Okay.
So I was like, I had nothing really.
Right.
Like, I was usually looking forward to sports, but I'd watch sports throughout that whole time. And just like that 28-3 Super Bowl, that was like,
that was the time as well.
Yeah. Okay. So like seeing that, just like, it really lightened up and brightened up my mood. And yeah, going back, like sports, it was kind of hard having that not be as much as part of my life with, you know, my family splitting up. It was kind of hard having both of it come to an end at the same time.
Yeah. So when that was happening, how were, I mean, you were still young. How was that? How were you able to process that part? Like what got you through that part?
It was very difficult. I had a couple close friends. You know, I was, as a kid in high school, I knew a lot of people. Like, I was one of those kids. I knew a lot. I got along with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of kept to myself a little bit. And I only had, like, a tight niche of friends of, like, two or three people.
Right.
And just, honestly, being around the people that I was, a lot of my friends were on the cross-country team.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd be on the team. We'd hang out. We'd have a couple, like, spaghetti dinners. Like, stuff like that kept me going. I play a lot of video games at the time. I definitely... Schoolwork did not come to a priority to me at the time.
Okay.
And at the time I was in 10th grade and I almost failed the year. So okay. it definitely took an impact on that, just because I felt like, you know, nothing's going right in my life right now. I just want to focus on what is making me happy.
Now, you know, again, if you don't want to answer this question, you can't, but eventually, I'm assuming you were able to pull out of it a little bit.
I was able to pull out of it. It was always just kind of hard because I always felt like I was in the middle between my mom and dad, and my brother's out in Albany. So for me, it's like, he doesn't have to deal with this. He's lucky. He's not in the middle. But once I got to college, I felt like, okay, I can have a balance between my mom and my dad. Like, because at the time, with how the divorce went, you know, it's hard because you want to stay loyal to each side, but then each side can get mad at you. Oh, you're doing this with them. You're doing this with them. It's like, I'm not trying to be a bad person, but I'm just trying to keep both sides. I want to be good with both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very hard. Once I got to college, you know, I was out on my own for the first time.
Yeah.
And I was able to find that balance, just because I feel like, now, I live with my mom. My dad moved out to Albany. When I came home for COVID, we were always close, but we got even more close. And with my dad, you know, I talk to him a lot still. And, like, it's better for me right now, I feel like, with the relationship I have, because I'm very close with my mom. I go home. I go to home to Rome. That's where I stay. But I talk to my dad a little bit more often. I'll text my mom every day.
Mm-hmm.
But we're both the type of people where, like, we don't need to call each other every day.
Yeah.
If we got nothing to say to each other, we leave it at that. We don't try to force conversation. Whereas my dad, he's a big sports fan as well.
Mm.
And we have a little bit more in common. My mom's a big sports fan as well. But one common interest we have is wrestling. My dad got me into wrestling.
Okay.
So we talk about that. We talk about sports. He's a big video gamer. He has a PS5 himself.
That's awesome.
So we have a couple interests. So I think just going out on my own helped me find that balance.
Nice. I mean, it's almost like a fresh start, isn't it?
Yeah. And it really was. And then with COVID happening, it's just like, it took that fresh start. And I was like, oh, well, you're back where you are.
Yeah. So you went home. Everybody went home for COVID. Yeah. How long were you home during that? Or did you wind up coming back on campus for this?
So I ended up coming back on campus in the fall. But I was home, I think I came home like early March, and I was home until late August.
Okay. And, you know, coming back up, how was that adjustment? Like, were you still living on campus or were you off campus?
Yeah, so I lived on campus in a suite. So I had five other people with me. I actually liked living on campus, even with it all online classes. Okay. I just felt like it was fun just living with five of my friends. That's how I met Merrick. I didn't meet Merrick until sophomore year when I was living in the suites. And I just felt like with school, it was all online, but we were able to still do things we like even on campus. Mm-hmm. My roommates and I, we'd go out, we'd play some football, we'd play some basketball. So it's not like we were just isolated in the suite. We were able to go out and do stuff we like.
No, and I think that's, you know, it's almost like it, to an extent, like you get that freedom, and it's like really was like on your own. Like,
yeah.
This is, okay, you have class at this time, and it's all online, like you don't have to do much. It's really, like it was very unprecedented. And I'm sure like as somebody who came back and had that established people around him, it must not have been too shabby.
No, it really wasn't. Just because like my good buddy, we were very tight our first two semesters here, mm-hmm. and just seeing him again, I was like, oh my God, we're back together. We call ourselves like the dynamic duo.
There you go.
We're LeBron, Wade, Bob, I mean, Pippen and Jordan. Yeah. And we just like joke about that because we both, we were on intramural basketball team.
Okay.
And I joke around because he's not the best at basketball, but he's a great passer. I always go, yeah, Hall of Fame dimer. And I got Hall of Fame posterizer. We just go together. And he's peanut butter on jelly.
There you go.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about some of those relationships. We talked about just a little bit briefly touching upon, but you know, growing through college and coming out, you know, now as you get ready. You're not quite graduating yet,
yeah.
But you know, it's in the mirror a little bit. Yeah. You gotta see it. You know, let's talk about some of those relationships you've made along the way.
Yeah, so I definitely, over the past 2 years, I'd say I've made a lot more relationships than I did my first two semester or first 2 years on campus.
Mm-hmm.
My freshman year, I don't think I'm friends with anyone I met freshman year, only like a couple of people, but I had a tight group that I used to go out with. We used to have fun. And then my sophomore year with COVID, they kind of just did their own thing. I just kind of did my thing. So
yeah.
We kind of just went separate ways. But our friend Turge, he was always a friend since freshman year. Like I said, I met Merrick sophomore year. We were supposed to meet up freshman year, and then COVID happened.
Yeah.
So then we just all moved in the suite, and Merrick didn't know any of us.
Oh wow!
So we became friends. We were both into sports,
mm-hmm.
more so him hockey, but we'd always watch sports. We were both into video games, and I feel like between Merrick and I, we're both go with the flow guys.
Yeah.
So we kind of gel together with that. But relationship here at, you know, especially at TOP. My first 2 years, my first year especially, I was kind of nervous to join the club, mm-hmm. because I came in and I saw where they show all the clubs. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, the involvement fair.
The involvement fair, yeah. There's like a long line. Like I'm talking like out the door.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, how much time am I going to have to like go through if to even get like a position?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's too many people, you're not going to get in.
Right.
So I never put myself out there, but I'm glad I did just because of all the relationships I've made at the club.
Yeah.
A lot of them have evolved through the years. A lot of them have deteriorated through situations, but
mm-hmm.
Throughout the past 2 years, I've definitely made a lot of relationships that I hope to keep after college.
So like, you know, obviously, you know, you currently live with Merrick and Turgeon.
Yeah.
So you knew Turgeon from freshman year.
Yeah.
Did either, and Merrick, you just kind of met during this. So how did you guys all not know each other and then still be kind of involved with the media works here?
Yeah, it's funny because Turge and I, we were friends through his hometown friend that he was living with at the time.
Okay.
So I met his hometown friend, McCade, at orientation.
Okay.
So one day we were just all playing basketball and I showed up late. I think I was coming from class or something. And I just see this kid wearing flip flops playing basketball. And I'm like, who is this kid? And it was like the basketball game. He was playing exactly like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh my God. But the more I hung out with him, the more we had an interest. We were big sports fans.
Mm-hmm.
His hometown friend was sports fans and we'd all watch football together.
Okay.
But we'd all get dinner together. We'd all hang out. You know, he'd come over a couple times, watch some movies in our mm-hmm. dorm. And it was just fun. But he was in TOP. He did a couple hockey games his freshman year. Okay. And he knew Merrick. He knew Merrick from the club.
Okay.
So when we were time to get our suite for next year, we're like, we don't have a six.
Yeah.
So we were like, hey, we need to find someone.
Yeah.
If anyone knows that wants a new living situation, let them know. We'll be glad to take them. And Turge is like, yeah, I know this kid from TOP. He works a lot of the hockey games. He works for the hockey team.
Uh-huh.
He's a really nice kid. Would you guys mind if he lives with us? And we're like, no, we'd rather have someone you know than have a random.
Yeah.
So that got all situated away. We tried to meet Merrick a couple times before COVID, like hang out a little bit, and everything. Every time it fell through.
Uh-huh.
So he came in. He was the last one in the suite.
Really?
He drove up from Connecticut.
Yeah.
And we're walking down to get something from the lobby. And right in the lobby, Turge goes, oh, that's Merrick.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. So I met him after Turge, but we all hung out together just because, like, being in that suite, it was kind of like for all of us living there.
Mm-hmm.
We're all together all the time.
Yeah.
So we got to know each other very quickly, because at the time you can't really go out to other dorms.
Right.
You could to other suites, but it was very hard.
Yeah.
So we just all had a good time. We played a lot of video games, and at the time we had the NBA bubble.
Yeah.
We would watch like almost every playoff
game. Really?
Yeah. I remember my specific roommate in the suite, Jordan, and I, we'd watch every playoff game for NBA, and then we'd also watch some NHL. I mean, Turge and Merrick and our other roommate, Nate, they would watch almost every NHL game.
Yeah.
So we kind of all, at one point, we were watching every playoff game all at the same time, because it was MLB playoffs, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. So we kind of just all had a team in the playoffs, no matter the sport.
Yeah.
So we kind of were like, yeah, let's all watch it together. Let's see how this turns out.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's fascinating. Like, I always am intrigued because, you know, I was just, the three of you guys were always together. Like,
yeah.
Merrick and Turge. So it's always fascinating to me to think about, like, the times before and, like, meeting these people for the first time. Because when you break it down, it's not that long ago.
No, I know.
It's only, what, like, 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah, especially Merrick, it's a little over 2 years. Turge, it's like a little over 3 years now.
And that's, to me, it's just the nuttiest part about college. We could go on talking about this forever, but like how it's just all of a sudden, okay, you're near this person.
Yeah.
All right, I don't mind this person. You're friends. And then boom, they're gone. And it's like,
yeah,
it's like, it's nuts. Like I told the story about Jill on the podcast that I did with her, where like, you know, she dusted me the first day of class. And it's like, now she's like one of my best friends here. You know, now I'm going with her yesterday to talk to Professor Cleveland about some big news.
And yeah.
Like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done. But, you know, it's just nuts to me. So I always am fascinated to hear these stories, how they play out.
Yeah, and everyone's always kind of has, like, a different story, too. Even though we're all at the same place.
Right.
Everyone's, like, beginnings are different, which is very fascinating.
Nuts. It is really crazy. But, no, I mean, as far as, you know, we talked a little bit about the past, talked about the present. You want to talk a little bit about the future?
Yes. So, hopefully, fingers crossed, everything goes right.
Yeah.
I'll be done with my undergraduate in the fall, and I'm going to start my master's. I'm going for my MBA in the spring. After the spring, I'm going to be out of here. I'm looking for a job right now. I want to work in a news station as a sports anchor. I really like sports anchoring. I love doing the readers. I love making stories about sports and doing the sports highlight, just because I feel like you're able to show a little bit more passion and more, a little bit more of your personality through that compared to like play by play and sideline. And I'm going to stay in New York State for 3 years. I did the Excelsior scholarship. So I have to stay for that amount of time. So I've been looking for a couple of news stations around the area. There's one right by me, WKTV. We watch it every Sunday.
Yeah.
I'd love to start there. I wouldn't mind starting out in Syracuse. You know, I'm not far away from Syracuse. If I did go live at home,
yeah,
only be 45 minutes away.
Right.
Which that's not far of a commute.
No.
Since, you know, my dad and brother are out in Albany, I wouldn't mind working in Albany.
Right.
It's not my go-to just because for me, I'm just not a big fan of Albany personally. It's nice. It's like, there's a lot to do,
yeah.
But like, I like going back home just because right. like, I love where I grew up.
Yeah, Albany's a hike.
Yeah. It's for me, it's about hour 30, I'd say. So it's
around there for us too.
It's kind of like, man, I mean, an hour and a half is far away, but I don't know. For me, it's just like, there's something about it where I just don't like staying there for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Like I also have, like aunts and uncles out there. I love seeing them when I go out there. But like, if I like extended periods of time, I just don't think I'd like living out there.
Fair enough. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
So when you're making the debut on Albany television. But nah, man, I mean, just from watching you every week and everything like that. I mean, I gave you your critiques last night. I thought you're always good at that stuff. I mean,
Thank you. It's
very obvious that you're passionate about that when you go out there. And you know, I could speak from my own personal experiences doing it. I know that passion lacks in some people. And it's very obvious when you go out there that you're passionate about what you're talking about. You're passionate about the stories you wrote. You care because you're always asking for help. So it's like, that's going to go a long way. So you got a very brave future.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I forgot to give Tellerino the podcast or the quiz yesterday. So we're here the following day, almost 24 hours later. To continue where we left off about the podcast. So if you listened this far, thank you. But now we're going to move into to the VIA character quiz. I believe it's a 75-question quiz. It takes 10 to 15 minutes. At the end, it gives you a list of strengths and it'll list them off based off of your questionnaire and the answers that you gave. So Tommy took said quiz. So we're going to start off by going through his top five strengths. So Tommy, let's start off at number five.
Number five, it gave me kindness.
Really?
Yeah.
Shocker.
I mean, going in, I had like a couple things in mind that I thought were going to pop up. I thought kindness would be one. I, you know, I try to be kind to everyone I meet, everyone I talk to. And then number four, I got fairness.
Okay.
Which, yeah, I would see that. I'd say so. Yeah. I never really thought of a fairness as a character trait.
Right.
And that was the first time I saw that. So I thought that
interesting. I think says a lot about like individuals. Like I think at least what I've picked up with people that do these is that a lot of people they'll read that and they'll go, oh, I never really gave this much thought.
Yeah.
I think it's just because there's certain people that just have that innate fairness or innate kindness within them where they don't really give it much thought. That's just who they are as a person. And I always think that says a lot more about a person than whether or not a sheet of paper gives you a list and that's like, oh, well, I knew that was going to be there. It's like, no, if it shocks you, it means you don't realize it. And that's what I think is so special about the quiz. But what's your third?
Yeah, the fourth and third one shocked me. My third one was honesty.
Okay.
I've always felt like I've had honesty as a trait, but I didn't think it was like one of my top traits that I kind of coincide with.
Yeah.
Like, I always feel like everyone has a couple of traits where they really represent themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't expect that to be one of my top fives.
Okay.
And then number two was teamwork, which I thought that was another one that would pop up there for me.
Based off of what we talked about yesterday, I could tell.
And then number one was humor.
I love that.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, that sums everything up.
Yeah. I don't think I can think of five better words, honestly, to describe you. But you know, let's reflect on those a little bit. You know, we talked a lot about your relationship with your parents. Do you think you get some of that from them?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think I get a lot of humor from both my parents. They're both funny in their different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just being around them separate now, I kind of pick up more of their humor. And then kindness, I get that from my mother, I think. You know, she's a very kind lady. Very giving back. She works as a physical therapist in the school district at home.
Okay.
So she's a very giving person. Fairness, I think that comes from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's been in a couple management jobs and has kind of taught me like this might not be the right thing, but it's the fair thing to do.
Yeah.
And then honesty, I just think it's probably I've just always taught like the honesty is one of the golden rules, even like even in school.
Absolutely.
I felt like that was taught. And then teamwork, I just think it's from so many years of sports.
If I had to guess a word out of the five that, based off of our conversation, I would have guessed teamwork would have been on there 100%.
Yeah, one thing that that didn't pop up for like any strengths that I kind of coincide with a lot is loyalty.
Okay.
I feel like I'm a very loyal guy, and that is taught throughout both sides of my family, where I feel like loyalty is number one. But I thought this was a great quiz. Like, I've never done anything like this.
Okay.
And I knew, like, some things I knew were going to be high strengths, middle strengths, and low strengths. I knew some of them. Like, I already knew some of my weaknesses. But I thought it was a great character assessment.
Nice. Yeah, I took it. I took a class last spring semester. It was a six-week course here. It was one credit. I forget the attributes, but it was called Thrive. I think it was HSC, like, 162 or something like that. And it was called Thrive, and it was very much based. It was once, I think we met once or twice a week on like a Monday or a Wednesday or something. And you go in for an hour and you sit down in amongst a group of peers, and you learn different things about how the mind works, things about how to cope with stress, how to cope with anxiety, how to cope with depression, just a bunch of really cool things. It was super important class. And then it was 2 days a week, because then you, on the other days, one day the teacher would, the professor would teach it, and then you'd get into groups where there would be three teacher assistants, and you'd get paired off with one, and you would just go through, pretty much reflect on the week, and a lot of it was just about what good is going on, try to focus on the good things. It honestly, like, you know, for somebody who, for a while, and myself, and I'm sure you can attest to this too, you know, it was hard to see the good things, so to take a class like that and be reminded of just little things like that, and that quiz was one of the things we took through that. And it's nice to sit back and reflect on yourself. And it's, you know, sometimes it's, you might think these things of yourself, but it's nice to see it written down and go, oh, okay, based off of these questions, I am these things. So it is a really nice quiz. Yeah. I recommend, if you're listening at home, to try it out. You know, you never know what you're going to see on it and what the results are going to be. And I think it's always my favorite part of these podcasts, because it always is. It's nice to see what other people, exactly like what the words that define.
Yeah. Them. I'm glad that our school offers a class like that, just because I feel like you can only gain positives from
absolutely.
That. Like learning about your character and knowing that there is good all the time.
Yeah.
Really.
No, it was super nice. We'd go in and we'd sit down, and the professor was great. Her name was Michelle Sloan. She works, I forget exactly where she works, but she works in, I believe it's Park Hall, as one of the people down there. And she created this class about a year ago. So it was still very much in its infancy, but if you as we get closer, as long, you know, as far as Oswego students go, as we get closer to choosing classes soon, I definitely think that that's something I would totally recommend. I sent her an email, because it was honestly one of the big inspirations for me starting the podcast, was
there
that class, because I was like, this is a nice way to do it. So Tommy T, I mean, you know, this is by time wise, from start of podcast to end of podcast, probably the longest one, because it's taken a day and a half to do. but that's totally my fault. But thank you for joining me today. I mean, it's been a pleasure. You know, you're certainly somebody that I've really just felt to, you know, and that's very rare for me, especially from where I came to where I am now, to actually feel like I could be myself or be around somebody. And you're certainly one of the people that I look at as somebody that I feel is a genuinely true friend up here. So I appreciate you for that.
Thank you.
And I, you know, I'll miss you when you're gone, but I'm not going to think about that right now.
The feeling's mutual, Bradley. You know, I think what makes us feel very genuine with each other is we have a lot of common interests.
We really do.
And we're not afraid to be ourselves around each other, which thank you for having me. And
absolutely.
I'm glad after our analyst job together on hockey night at Oswego.
Would have thought.
I know. You know, it gives me goosebumps.
Just think about it. But either way, Tommy, thank you for stopping by. I usually end this with a quote. And off the top of my head, I can't think of one. Tommy, do you have a quote maybe that stuck out to you or anything? Any words?
Yeah, I got a Rocky quote that I always go back to. It's not about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving.
That's how
winning's done.
There you go. I'm not going to repeat that, but you heard it right there from the man. We know he loves rock. But either way, there you go. It's not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving, because that's how we went.
That's right.
So, all right. Thank you for joining me and Tommy today. Make sure to stay tuned for some new episodes coming very soon. But thank you for listening, and we'll see you all very soon.